The vibes. Welcome back to another episode of the Hoop Genius podcast, brought to you by NBA 2K24. As always, it's myself, Momutsu, and alongside me again for the second night in a row, Mr. Christopher Thomas. CT, how you doing, my brother?
I'm here.
You're bringing the energy, huh? You're bringing the energy. I didn't think you'd have so much energy as your Indiana Pacers just took a 126 to 110 loss in game two, as my Boston Celtics are now just two wins away from the NBA Finals. It's crazy when you think about it, CT. The Celtics now just have to go 6-6 over the next 12 games to win the championship.
To finally win it. Say it right.
Yep.
Because
yep.
They're expected to. Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, they're under the gun. Like, hey, you keep making these finals. When we gonna win something? So
yeah.
So you're right.
CT, you're an expert in the field of basketball. There's not many people in the world I consider experts, right? But, you know, I've been in the gym with you, and I see how you can break down a player's mechanics to the granular level, X, Y, and Z, right? So I wanted to talk to you about this. Jason Tatum finished the game with 23 points. He was 1 from 7 from downtown. Again, another tough shooting night for him. What are you seeing in Jason Tatum? Is it just a cold stretch and this will average out by him shooting the lights out in a couple games time? Or is there something that we're seeing that's causing him to miss these shots?
That's Jason Tatum. He's come see, come saw. He's inconsistent. That's his career. I don't think he can help himself. And he's deadly talented, uber talented at the game of basketball to be more consistent than what he presents. And I just think he chooses to take hard shots versus get to an easier shot and opportunities. So he presents his own case of that's why you're inconsistent.
Well, what's interesting is in 2022, when they made the NBA Finals, through that playoff run, he shot 39% from deep. This year, he's shooting 28% from behind the free throw line. So at some point, despite his inconsistency, the definition of being inconsistent is sometimes you shoot bad and sometimes you shoot good. We're still waiting to see him shoot good. So logically, and by the power of averages, he should be not missing any threes if they do advance to the finals. So,
but he's never been, you know, for him, he's never been a good 3-point shooter by NBA standards outright. So we can't expect him to get any better.
He shot really well when he came into the league. He shot 43%, 37%, 40%, 39%. And then it's just the last 3 years. Let me ask you this, because this is a theory I have. The more muscle you put on, and this isn't like an old school way of thinking, but when you look at someone like Giannis, right? In his rookie season, he could shoot. He had really nice shooting form. And now that he's got all these muscles, he can't really shoot the ball. Same with Russell Westbrook. When he was in his earlier days, he had a really nice pull-up jump shot. Then when he, you know, put on a whole load of muscle, now it's just the shooting form seems more tense and more forced. Is that something that you see with players that you work with?
I would say no, because in that logic, Jason Kidd wouldn't become a better 3-point shooter than he started out as, because he got heavier during his career. But he got
he waited until super late in his career to become a good shooter.
Yeah. Because that's the last resort.
But I'm talking about players as they're evolving towards their prime.
Yeah. So in their prime, in your max condition and physique, I'd have to do the research on that. But I don't think that's it. I think it's just players want to take the harder shot than the easier, efficient shot. And unless you train in that condition, you're not going to have success in that. So, Giannis, you know, his mechanics are positive. Like, he looks like he can shoot the ball. He just, you know, some of his shots, like, there's no touch. And Jason Tatum, just the same.
Is
like,
but that's what I go is like shooting. Great shooters, they are like loose, right? They've got the loose wrists. You know, you can just see from the way that they walk, the way that they run. Whereas a Giannis, a Westbrook, they're stiff. You know, like they're
guaranteed. But I also think that's more psychology. Like, you know, Westbrook will take shots because he don't give a F, but you know you're not gonna hit this shot. You know you're not gonna hit this corner three. And I'm sure he works at his 3-point shot, works at his game like none other, just like Giannis. Some people just can't shoot. You know, some people are scorers, some people are shooters, some people got great form, they just can't hit shots. And that's time tested and true for basketball.
But like I've seen Tatum hit like 8-9 threes in games before. So I'm hoping that he has one of those games sooner rather than later. But tonight, luckily for the Celtics, Jaylen Brown went off scoring 40 points in the game. Now, obviously, when you read the stat line, Tatum had 23, but he really got those 23 towards the end when the game was won. But Jaylen Brown was the one who was carrying them throughout the night. He had a fantastic performance. He had, 24 points in the first half, and then he finished with 40. He was playing amazing basketball. Do you think he was a little bit motivated by not being on an All-NBA team? Because he was wanting to be on the All-NBA defensive team, didn't make that.
Just a little bit. Highest paid player in the league currently.
He got the money's worth tonight.
Just a little bit motivated by that, which good for the Celtics. Good for him to take that personal, because that just means it's worth it to him. It means something to him, and good for the league to, hey, don't include him on this. And he probably assumed he was one, but good for him. Like he needed tonight, and the Celtics needed tonight because they suck in game twos.
Yeah, I was worried. Remember, I texted you in the start of the game.
Yeah. But he had a point to prove. They had a point to prove, and it all worked in concert tonight.
Yeah, the Celtics had a much better game. Their 3-point shooting was far more locked in. They shot 40% from downtown in the game tonight, which was a difference maker. They dominated the points in the paint again for Indiana. Indiana had Tyrese Halliburton leave the game towards the end with an injury. He did not return. I don't know if he'll be playing the next one. Siakam was their high man with 28 points tonight. And they started the game with an interesting matchup because I was wondering how they're going to guard the pick and roll now with Horford. And so the Celtics simply switched Horford onto Siakam. And then they had Jaylen Brown or Jason Tatum guarding Miles Turner. So that way, if he did go and set a screen, they could easily switch and have one of those guys guarding Halliburton, which you live with. And then on the back, they can rotate and eventually get Horford onto Turner. Siakam ended up having a great game. He finished with 28 points, like I said, but he had 16 of them at a half on 8 of 9 shooting.
He didn't shoot enough. Like, that was the fallacy of tonight is like, Siakam, you got it going. Pacers, Siakam got it going. Especially when Halliburton went out. Hey, Pascal, you're going to get 60 tonight. We're finding you each and every time.
He shot 77% from the field, 13 of 17, right? But for context, Jaylen Brown took 27 shots. He took 10 extra shots, 10 more shots than Pascal Siakam. And this is the playoffs. I'm a person who personally doesn't really care for efficiency in the playoffs as long as you get the win, right? Because we know if you're going to be leading a team, a great player, like I'm cool with Jason Tatum in the last game going 1-for-7 from downtown because he went 2-for-8 overall because he hit the one that mattered. If you worry about efficiency and stop taking those shots, that's when you're going to lose. So I'm looking at Siakam like, okay, you're the NBA champion on this team. You're the veteran on this team. You got it going. You went 13-17. Keep going.
Shoot more. Like he didn't. And that's all I'll say. And with, in the NBA especially, but in basketball, if you are 7-of-10 from three in a game, you didn't shoot enough. Mm-hmm. That's too high and too good a percentage, meaning that you didn't take in account you're that hot. You need 5-10 more shots.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you end up 10-for-20, you're still 50%. But that's still better than the shooting average at 3-point range at all levels.
Mm-hmm.
And I just say, forget statistics. And that's the bad thing about analytics is these players are so conscious of their stats and percentages and plus minus that like play basketball. If you're hot, ask for the ball, call for the ball, seek shots, hit shots. do what you do.
Absolutely.
And, you know, figure out the rest on the back end.
Absolutely. And for the Celtics, what was interesting tonight is Luke Kornet left the game with a little bit of injury, and we saw some minutes for O'Shea Brissett. So they played a little bit of small ball, and I really liked what I saw from that.
Yeah. And shoot, next man up is real tonight.
He came in, got three steals off the bench. This is what depth is important. I want to see more Xavier Tillman in this series. But for the Pacers, Haliburton has just limped to the team bus. Don't know if he's going to play the next game. Do you think this is a foregone conclusion, or do you think there's a way that they can get back into this? Because they once again shot over 50% from the field. As you know,
there's no team in basketball shooting better than the Pacers. That's proven. Like, you know, the commentary was they can't 74% whatever they shot first half of the game, and that's not sustainable. That are not like, they pretty much sustained it. It's uncommon. Unfortunately, Haliburton is that guy for them, so that hurts. But I feel TJ McConnell is an X factor for them. Like it's not a big drop off to you know, put him in the starting lineup.
He's one of the best backup point guards in the league,
and he gets it done. He just gets it done, and it's ho hum. Sucks for Haliburton. Hopefully, you know, he can recover, or this isn't, you know, severe. But I think the Pacers, because of their depth, they can rebound from this, especially coming home.
Mm-hmm. And they haven't lost at home since March 18th.
They're
great at home. The crowd there is great. That's one thing I'll give to Indiana. Great basketball city. Here's something, though. No matter how efficient the Pacers shoot, they had 16. It's less than 21 in the last game, but they had 16 turnovers in tonight's game. So it doesn't matter how efficient you are. If you're turning the ball over like that, giving the Celtics easy looks, you could shoot an even better percentage. It's not going to get you a win.
Well, for the Pacers, it's been all season. They don't play defense.
Mm-hmm.
It's a layup and a dunk contest at the rim for most teams, most nights. And you're seeing that. So the turnovers are, it is what it is. They just don't play enough defense. So they're going to have a problem because Boston loves to jack it up early and often in the shot clock. And then they're good at offensive rebounding, which you saw tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to be a problem for the Pacers. It doesn't matter anything else. Yep. If they can't get any stops and rebound, they're done in.
Here's something that happened in the NBA. The Cavaliers fired coach J.B. Bickerstaff. What do you make of that? Because it's turning into like the Premier League, where managers just take the blame for a team not achieving their expectations. Man. And like, you had a playoff run in which Jarrett Allen was out with an injury. Donovan Mitchell missed the last two games of the second round. Darius Garland spent all season being injured. Plus, you've built a roster where you have two essentially point guards in Darius Garland and Donovan Mitchell who need the ball in their hands. And you've got two bigs who, although we've seen flashes from Mobley where he will shoot the three, two bigs who can't shoot a three, so you don't have the necessary spacing on the court. So, like, you've built this team. They went on a great stretch throughout the regular season. Remember, they went on that streak where they were playing amazing basketball. They got to the second round of the playoffs without two of their key guys, but you fired the coach. Why?
I'm petitioning to Congress. If you NBA team agree to fire a coach, you have to fire the GM.
Agreed.
Because it's not on the coach. The GM presents the product and the roster, and the coach has to deal with it. And there's certain situations where the coach has some input, but most situations they don't. And they got to deal the cards. In the Cavs situation, 2 years ago, lost in the first round. This year, lost in the second round. That's progress for most teams and organizations. Mm-hmm. And then you're dealing with two guards that aren't compatible. You're dealing with two bigs that aren't compatible. And Bickerstaff made that work despite all. And then they brought in, you know, shooters and help around the two situations, the bigs and the guards that aren't compatible. They had a great season. And you're blaming that on the coach? What are we doing?
I sometimes think that they do too much to appease their players. And if Donovan Mitchell didn't like the coach and they're saying to Donovan Mitchell, we want you to sign this extension, and we've seen this with other superstars, they'll get rid of a coach just to try and keep the star player that they want. So someone asked me today if I think Donovan Mitchell wanted him fired, and I'm like, well, if he signs the extension, that tells you everything you need to know. If he doesn't sign it, then they might have been throwing a Hail Mary by firing the coach, or they might have just had an internal disagreement, and we'll see what happens. But a coach who had a great season was Chris Finch of the Timberwolves, currently not on the sidelines because of his knee injury, and they've got Mike Anori out there. But today he went through the Timberwolves film session, and this is what he said after the film session. He says, "It was a very rough film session. I told the guys, it's been a long time since I've been this disappointed in your effort. Your performance, your attitude, your application and attention to detail just wasn't there. The Western Conference Finals, not sure if you got the memo, but the players got the memo this afternoon." So scathing comments from their coach. Are you expecting a big bounce back from the Timberwolves in game 2?
Yeah, and I think the Timberwolves just fell into, they're young and dumb enough not to realize you can't party after a series win. Mm-hmm. You got to.
They should have learned from the Phoenix Suns having a parade before they start the NBA Finals.
You know, you got to learn how to be a pro, and Anthony Edwards in particular is learning how to be a pro. Like, you look gassed at the end of that game after you called out and poked the bear and Kyrie, talking about, I got Kyrie next series. Yeah, how'd that work out? But if you're going to say stuff like that, if you're going to present the case, you got to prepare for that level of, you know, Kyrie's offensively dominant. So he's going to come at you. Mm-hmm. That means you're playing defense every rep, every turn, and I just think, you know, they expended a lot of effort against Denver for sure, on the defensive end for sure, which is not normal. Anthony Edwards didn't have a great series against Denver. He had a good series.
He started the series great.
Good start, but you add up all the minutes and his production.
But they're asking him.
It was okay.
They're asking him to be their best scorer. They're asking him to be their facilitator and guard Kyrie Irving on the other end of the floor. That's a lot for anyone to have.
That's
to
a
do.
Lot.
And everyone says Luka don't play defense or whatever. But okay, cool. Because on offense, he's doing everything. Yes, and even though he's not picking up guys full court and chasing them down on defense, he still does his job. So are they going to have to find a way to give Anthony Edwards that energy by not doing what they did defensively in the last game?
Anthony Edwards needs to understand you need all the recovery, all the cold plunge, the Theragun, the Normatec, all the body recovery, all the mental meditation recovery it's going to take, so you are full and ready to do what you do on both ends for this series, not just the next game. The next game, he better show up. He better be that dude that everybody's so hyped about, talking about. He's Jordan-esque, and he's the next face of the program or the NBA. Like, all right, bro, we're going to need you to prove that so much in this next game, but there's more games. You need 4 of these.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What are you expecting from this game 2 then? Timberwolves, Dallas.
I expect a bounce back, but I just think Luka is made for this. You know, in tournament play, playoff play, that's what he thrives on. Like, his regular season game is playoff action.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's going to get it done. And then Kyrie went from playing second fiddle, Robin, to, all right, let me go ahead and do what I do. You know, 1, he called me out. 2 is he's used to, all right, it's the moment, and I want to make this final. So I'm not going to play second fiddle. I'm not going to be Robin. We can work together, and that's going to be a problem for the Timberwolves. You can't stop those two.
Mm-hmm. And it's interesting because there's like the difference between teams that are playing with house money, aka, you know, we're out before, no one expects us to beat the reigning champions, no one expects us to be here, versus teams who have something to prove. Kyrie Irving's heard all the noise from everyone saying he can't win without LeBron, da da da. And Luka's heard all the noise from people criticizing his game as well. Those two are on a mission. I'm just wondering if Luka's knee holds up, because he's been playing with a knee sprain for basically the whole playoffs. I need to see if that can hold up, though. because that's going to be tough in a series because the Timberwolves aren't just going to go away.
But he's not Western version of I'm hurt. Let me make it known I'm hurt. He's not American. And what I say to that is he going to grind it out. It's more important for him to win and move on and get in that finals than pity pet and give me mercy and make it known that I'm not at full health. He's built for this, bro. Like he's an incredible basketball player, but that's the power of this means more than my injury or injuries in his case.
Absolutely. I love the mentality that he's got. So what's your prediction for game 2? Who you got winning this one? You going with the Mavs?
Mavs. Like
big or close or?
No, I hope the T-Wolves keep it close. I think they could actually win this game if they went back to that defensive philosophy that they did against Denver, where they're charging at the perimeter. They got backside help at the rim, but they're dealing with two excellent finishers at all levels on the court with Kyrie and Luka. They're going to get in foul trouble.
Mm.
You know, if the refs, you know, play it fair, but let them play is what I say. Don't call any of that. Luka, once he stops crying and complaining, he'll lock in. He's unstoppable. Kyrie proved in the first half, if he wants to, he can do. It's not a matter of what you're going to do against him. So those two are just undeniable offensively to where T-Wolves, you know, there's no defense for made shots, and those two in particular can make shots.
Absolutely. Do you think, you know, they said there was a lot of talk after the game if we were tired, Anthony Edwards in particular, we were tired, da, da, da. Do you think that's going to carry over to game 2? Because I don't see with one day's rest how you can suddenly become less tired after playing a Western Conference Finals game.
But I hope they got smarter about recovery and hydration and shutting it down and not being out at the mall or, you know, out in the sun or, you know, whatever you do on an off day.
No comment.
I hope. Yeah. I just hope, you know, the T-Wolves in full got smart about, all right, it's going to take a lot. It's going to take a lot to beat this team. And we can't rely on them half-stepping. It's going to take a lot to beat this team. Yeah. So I expect a good game. I want this series in particular to go 7 games because they're evenly matched.
Yep.
And it should be a great game each game for the entire series. But I just think the Mavs just got the two dogs that Anthony Edwards is trying to become, Kyrie-like, Luka-like, on that level. And he's getting there, but he's not there.
I hope this series goes 7 games. And I hope the Celtics win their series in 4 games so that they have time to get ready for the NBA Finals.
You need Kristaps Porzingis back.
All right, man. Yeah, that, we definitely do. We definitely do. But that's another episode of the Hoop Genius Podcast. Make sure you guys subscribe across YouTube, Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your podcast from. Like we said yesterday, make sure you check out the number one world dominator on Instagram. That's CT. You can get your training from him, learn about the game, all that good stuff. CT is going to keep rocking with us. BJ's away. He's always at the EuroLeague finals, so CT's gonna be here, and BJ might even stop back in as well for a couple. But either way, we got you covered for the rest of the conference finals, the NBA finals, the draft, free agency, everything and anything basketball. The Hoop Genius Podcast is the place to be. So until next time, you guys know the vibes. Get buckets.